I rise in support of this funding plan. One of the first lessons in budgeting we all learn is that you never walk away from a signed state budget fully satisfied. Each of us, given the chance, probably would move money around to programs and services that we consider higher priorities. The problem, of course, is that we would have 50 different adjustments needing to be reconciled. That is why months are devoted to budget negotiations, discussions, evaluations, input, review, and compromise. There is never enough money for programs or services to satisfy advocates for every area of endeavor, whether it be for education, human services, community safety, or health care, or child protection, or dozens of other state concerns. We are responsible to take all the wants, all the lists, and boil them down into the needs lists, and figure out how many and how much fits within our expected revenues. This budget is a responsible and reasonable effort. We all say that we're devoted to the public interest and that taxpayer interest, but we frame our debate in terms of dollars, intentions, and politics. The taxpayers are constantly reminding us that they want more oversight, more rigorous evaluation of what works and what does not work. We constantly hear how a better job needs to be done with the money currently being spent. Too many times they hear state officials define success with how many programs are in place and how much money is being spent. Much more, they believe, is required for us to look at reform and efficiency. Occasionally, we meet taxpayer-directed responsibility, and there is a very notable example underway through a bipartisan effort to overhaul our criminal justice system to begin to achieve cost savings and significant improvement in results. As chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, we will be focused on this for the future as we build to make sense, to fund what matters, what works. As chair last session of the Health and Human Services Committee, I got a deep look at the extensive array of programs that Pennsylvania offers. And although the public might not be able to tell from the rhetoric of the budget season, this budget is strong and progressive in respect to funding for human services. Funding what works. Look at how closely funding increases are included in this budget, how they line up with the serious needs that we confront year-round. Child protection, child care, domestic violence, rape crisis, services for physically, intellectually, and visually disabled, home care, assisted living, nursing home care, early intervention, increased facility inspections to ensure licensing standards are in compliance, reductions in the waiting list for crucial services. The priorities for increases are in places that will benefit the 20th senatorial district that I represent: schools, worker skills, farm assistance, community safety, enhanced services for crime victims. And many, many will be glad to hear that a tax on municipalities directed at very small communities utilizing state police coverage was rejected. So this is an impressive in direction and in discretion. Most Pennsylvanians are not going to be perusing the state budget at their breakfast table drinking their coffee, but we can give them an honest assessment of what many virtues are in this state budget. And we can talk about not just how we want to spend their tax dollars, but about the choices we make to distinguish what works and what has discernible results. Every state budget may be imperfect, but this budget reflects an inordinate amount of care and concern in its treatment of Pennsylvanians whose circumstances cause them to depend on quality and accessible programs and services. So I want to say thank you to Senator Pat Brown, our Appropriations Chair, and his staff, to Senator Scarnati and Senator Cormann, and our leadership. They put much attention into funding what works.